Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a familiar passage, one pretty regularly used as we observe the Lord's Supper. But, as Tim mentioned in his prayer, we need to be sure that we just don't do things out of routine. And there's some things that are, in a sense, routine, and so require special diligence on our part, especially on my part, that it doesn't just become a routine. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, we'll begin there. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. They were just doing this out of routine. That's what Paul's dealing with here. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are proved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. For after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat this bread of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come. The Corinthian church was a problemed church. They had problems with everything. There was bickering, divisive factions, immorality, heresies. The believers were taking each other to court over issues. And all these things Paul dealt with in his first letter to them. Marital problems. All kinds of issues. Go back to chapter 1, just to touch on a couple of things here. The issues that they were struggling with. As he begins, he starts out the normal greeting to the church and just jumps right in very quickly to the issues. Verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very typical beginning, but then immediately then he jumps to the, or verse 4 continues that, I guess. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you're enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's starting to get to the issue here, wanting to be presented blameless before the Lord. And there's much blame to be held against this church. It's interesting. I spent quite a bit of time last Tuesday with a woman on campus that had first talked to Nate and then came over to me and probably spent over an hour between the two of us talking to us. And her whole issue is to correct us on our belief about tongues. She is really messed up when it comes to tongues. Most people are. They don't understand biblical tongues. The Corinthian church was as well. And so many people that put such an emphasis upon tongues as being the only or the main manifestation of the Holy Ghost don't realize that the Corinthian church, probably the most carnal, the most immature spiritually church, spoke in tongues. It's not a sign of spiritual maturity. If it was, the Corinthian church would not be speakers in tongues. But again, you know, maybe we'll deal with that some other time, but most people don't practice biblical tongues. The charismatics do not practice biblical tongues. It's not what's according to the scriptures, but he's getting at the idea that there's some blame to be held against these people. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. You know, the scriptures are fixed. The scriptures aren't subject to my own private interpretation. And he says, folks, you need to be on the same page. There needs to be unity among the body of believers, which this church that spoke in tongues and practiced healings and other things was lacking. And that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Just a lot of bickering and arguing and fussing among each other, even to the point of, as mentioned, taking each other to court. Later on, Paul deals with the Corinthians about that idea. We're not to take a brother or sister into a court of law. Handle the thing in the church. Verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And then he goes on about this thing. But see the division that's there in this church. Go over to chapter 3. And again, I mean, you go through each of these chapters and there's another issue that he's dealing with about the believers here at the city of Corinth. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? This idea of holding men's persons in admiration, lifting up some man instead of Jesus Christ, that's carnal. Saved? Absolutely. These people are saved. On the way to heaven? Yes, indeed. Having the Holy Ghost within them? Absolutely. But babies in Christ. Spiritually immature. Carnal. They were a mess. And they had so many wrong ideas and so many wrong approaches to things, including the Lord's Supper. They'd made a mess of it. They disgraced the Lord's Supper. They turned this simple service, this ordinance ordained of God, into a mess. We need to be careful about doing the same thing. This observance, they turned it into a time of flaunting their wealth, as the rich had their sumptuous feast and the poor had little to eat, and that created division and bickering and fighting among them. Instead of a time of unity and spiritual renewal, it was a time of division, envy, and bitterness. First, as we look at this morning, this is to be a time of unity. A time when our hearts and minds are fixed on Jesus Christ. I listened to Kim's prayer this morning thinking, was he in my study yesterday? No, God was.
Amen.
And we come before the Lord as we open His Word and we look at the instruction He has for us and regarding the observance of this ordinance that He's ordained for us to observe. And it's to be a time of unity. The church always ought to come together in unity, but at this time especially. You think about as the Lord, you know, Paul talked about it there in 1 Corinthians 11. You know, he wasn't present on that observance of the Passover, which then concluded with the Last Supper, as it's called, which we call the Lord's Supper. The first observance of this with the disciples. Paul wasn't there. But the other apostles were. As they all gathered around Jesus Christ and at His feet. And He handed them the bread and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which was broken for you." And then He held up the cup and He says, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood. Drink ye all of it. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show My death till I come." Focused on Him. And the whole purpose of it, as Jesus Christ observed it with those disciples and then passed that on to us, was the idea that all of our attention needs to be focused upon Him. As it always should be. Because when we start focusing upon ourselves or a particular individual or individuals, then right away that divisiveness and division and the lack of unity enters in. The things in our lives, the struggles we face spiritually, are because we've taken our eyes off of Jesus Christ and focused on something else. This is a time of unity, focused upon Jesus Christ. All our attention is to be upon Him. Now, I don't believe this is a condemnation of fellowship dinners. The believers met together regularly, daily, to eat together. There's nothing in the Scriptures that condemns that. But when anything disrupts the unity of believers, that is what is condemned in this thing. As they were gathered together with one another before the Lord, their attention was fully fixed on Him, in harmony with Him, and in harmony one with another. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, it says in Ephesians. It's to be a time of unity. It's also to be a time of remembering. He says, Looking here again, he says, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." We can forget. You go through the Old Testament, and over and over and over again, God rehearses before the people of Israel the things which he did for them. The whole book of Deuteronomy, that's one theme of the book of Deuteronomy, is remember. Remember how I brought Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees and called him to give him to this land that you're about to enter into. Remember how I was with him throughout all his journey as he sojourned in that land of promise. Remember how I was with you there in Egypt as you were in bondage, and the miracle, those plagues that came to deliver you from that bondage. Remember this past 40 years of how I provided for you, how I protected you. I brought water out of the rock to quench your thirst. I brought manna from heaven to feed your hungry souls. I kept your shoes and your clothing from not wearing out in 40 years. Remember what I've done for you. Remember I've protected you against your enemies. Remember. And what happened? They forgot. You go to the book of Judges, that's what it's about. And the oppression came and God delivered them. Oh, yeah. Our God, yeah, okay, God. And then they forgot again. And God delivered them 13 times in the book of Judges. The cycle of apostasy. They get stirred up. They call to God. He delivers them. Things get going good. They turn away from God. They're back into apostasy, back into bondage, back into crying to God to deliver them. And we're no different, folks. He says, do this in remembrance of me. I think it's important that each of us go back in our mind. Maybe you can't point to a date on the calendar. Go back in your mind to that day when you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. Remember. If we were to give testimony this morning, I'm sure that the circumstances and even the feelings and the emotions would all be different. But somehow, in some way, there's a unity there in that we realized our condition before God. And the need of the gift of salvation that his body and is being broken for us and his blood being shed for us, purchased. And we called upon him. Remember. Remember what God's done for you. Remember the things that God delivered you from. And again, that may vary greatly. Some of us saved it later in life. We're delivered from a lot. Remember. Go back to that time in your minds. Remember what he's done. What his suffering on the cross accomplished for you. I'm a child of God. Amen. I who was an enemy, without hope and without God in this world, and on my way to hell, and so were you. Amen. And now I'm his child. Forgiven. Accepted in the beloved. Now I've got a purpose for my life that has meaning and has eternal benefits to it. Remember what his sacrifice on the cross did for you. And examine yourselves in light of that. He goes on here, he says, Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. I don't think you should ever decline of taking the elements. For a long time, I was under the false impression that, well, there's a sin in my life I haven't dealt with yet, so I better not partake of the elements or I'm going to be judged. No, that's stupid. You're under the condemnation if you haven't dealt with it. The elements have no bearing on that thing. He says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You need to deal with that. Amen. Don't put it off. Don't in some twisted way of thinking believe that you can somehow escape the judgment of your sin just because you didn't partake of these elements. This is just a representation. It's just a symbol. It's a simple service that's supposed to focus our heart and our mind on Jesus Christ. And then for me to examine myself in the light of what Jesus Christ has done for me and how much He loves me and cares for me and all that He has prepared for me. And to examine myself in light of that. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be some wicked way in me, and cleanse me and lead me in the way everlasting. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Our focus is on Jesus Christ, of what He's done for us, how much He loves and cares for us. Paul writes here, beginning in verse 29. Well, let's back up. Verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, that which God delivered you from, saved you from, put that off, he says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. We're not to be liars, but speak the truth, every man truth with his neighbor, for your members, one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't hold on to that anger, because it soon becomes bitterness. That root of bitterness which eats as a cancer at your soul. It's not wrong to be angry. Jesus Christ was angry. He drove the money changers out of the temple in anger, with a scourge. He had a reason for his anger. And he vented his anger. And that was it. Then you go on. Neither give place to the devil. Interesting that he mentions that right after the idea of not being angry and sinning not. Because when I hold on to that anger, what I've done is I've given an opening for the devil to come in and be able to use that against me. Let him that stole steal no more, but neither rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Several of the things have to do with this right here. lying, the corrupt communication, even the anger, oftentimes, has to do with the tongue, doesn't it? And to minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We're to look to the past, remember Him and what He's done for us, and examine our lives in light, the present to be examined in light of what He's done for us. I'm to put off that old man. You know, I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. He says, so stop living like the old. Don't let Satan get that foothold in your life by hanging on or following some of those things of the old life. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. It's a time of unity. It's a time of remembering. But it's also a time of looking to the future. The Lord's coming back. Amen. John chapter 14, Jesus said, in my Father's house, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now that's what He told the believers just prior to His betrayal and crucifixion. I'm leaving. But I'm not leaving you behind. I'll come and get you to take you to what I have prepared for you. Because He loves us so much.
Amen.
Yeah, it's going to be rough with me absent. But I've got to do it. Number one, so the Holy Ghost can come. But number two, so He can get things ready for us. He's coming to take us to be with Him. Remember that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The last trump. Right, that's 1 Corinthians 15. Sorry about that. 1 Thessalonians 4. Let me get it right. Brethren, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Nobody's going to get left behind. If you're His, you're going. Regardless of how you've lived here on this earth. He bought you. He redeemed you. Yep. And no one's going to be able to cancel that redemption. Not even you.
Amen.
You're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Those sins are taken care of. It's gone. He's coming for you. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. That should be a source of comfort for us.
Amen.
That at any moment, a trumpet will sound, the voice of an archangel will shout, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, to ever be with Him. And if you've got any reason right now to fear or be hesitant about that, you need to take care of that.
Amen.
That's what this whole thing is about this morning. Being ready for that. He's coming for us.
Amen.
Over and over again, He promised that. But again, when He comes, there's going to be a time of examining. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 9. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For if ye all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Why that division? Why that lack of unity? Why that holding of some persons in admiration and condemning others? Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he's done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. That future includes standing before God, before the one who everything is completely open, exposed. Every thought that I have had, every ill intent that I have had, every sin that I have committed, every evil speaking word that I have communicated, it's all known to Him. It's going to be exposed. That's part of our future, folks. Now, there's some things I don't know about this, understand about this, but it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That could be a rough time. Go back to 1 Corinthians 11. 've got a merciful, gracious, loving God. Again, in verse 28, he says this of 1 Corinthians 11. But let a man examine himself. You ever have a time when your kids did something wrong? And dealing with it, you knew what they'd done, but you didn't let on to them. Why'd you do that? You want them to come clean, right? And if they lie about it continually, then the consequences are usually more difficult than the, yep, I did it, Dad. I was wrong. I'm sorry. A little more lenient, aren't you?
Yeah.
Forgiving. The consequences are less severe. Let a man examine himself, the Lord says. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. This is an opportunity for us to come clean before God. He says, examine yourselves. Just deal with that thing, because by not doing it, some are weak. Some are sick, and some pass prematurely. Pretty severe consequences, aren't they? Some sickness is a result of sin. Not all, but some is. Some weaknesses a result of sin, and some death. But then he goes on, he says this. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. There's that judgment seat of Christ where I'm going to stand before God, where everything is completely exposed. There's no hiding, there's no passing the blame to somebody else. There's no excuses. It's all stripped away. But God says, you can avoid my terror and the judgment then if you'll deal with it now. If we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be judged, condemned with the world. Deal with it now, folks.
Amen.
That's what this is about. That we have that unity in the church. That we have the proper focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that when we stand before Him, it will be to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy kingdom. The place He has prepared. Take a few moments now and pray, and then go to Matthew chapter 26.